Welcome to another edition of Uncensored with Penny Faree, proudly sponsored by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for listening to Uncensored. As August, Women's Month, draws to a close, it's worth asking, what does this commemoration truly mean today? This year marks 30 years since South Africa's first official National Women's Day and 69 years since more than 20,000 women marched to the Union Building against apartheid's pass laws. They stood in silence for half an hour and left us with a legacy captured in the words, "You strike a woman, you strike a rock." But nearly 7 decades later, too many women still fight daily battles that really make the headlines. In informal settlements, they walk kilometers for water, raise children in overcrowded shacks, and survive without jobs, housing, or basic services. Their resilience is what keeps our communities alive. Today on Uncensored, we speak to Nora Nzunza, once Deputy Mayor of the Dolphin Coast and a trailblazer in local government where she served for almost 20 years. She was the first woman to bring RDP houses to Nkombongo and Sharamoya, creating a tangible legacy of hope for her community. Nora's journey is not only about hardship, but about courage, leadership, and the power of women's voices. This is a story, and through her, the story of thousands of women who hold us society together. Good morning, Nora. Welcome to the show.
Morning. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You know, the challenges in South Africa are immense. Today, the housing backlog in Kwadukuza is so severe. Experts say it'll take more than 20 years to catch up. Just a quick background of where you were, you know, in local government and your journey to get there, where you served as deputy mayor as well for the Dolphin Coast Municipality then.
I started in 1994 as a local government forum, and then later we became councillors in 1995. We get our first pay in 1995, February, yes. And it was 1,000, I remember it was 1,000 a month that we were getting as a payment.
Yeah.
That time, and with deductions, it was 750 rand.
And you were part of the municipality then before it amalgamated into Kwadukuza. That actually, were you around the table contract that was signed with Caesar Water? Is that right? The Dolphin Coast.
That was Dolphin Coast,
yes.
Only.
Yeah.
Caesar Water was a PPP.
Yeah, public private partnership.
For water concession. With us, we had a contract with them. They were coming from France.
Yeah.
Yes, and we had a contract with them under the mayor called Boni Maraj, myself, and the executive committee was McDonald, Andy Houghton, and Councillor Thompson, and many more of whom now I won't remember.
Yeah, familiar names, hey? I mean, those are still around in the community. And tell me now, you know, we are looking at the current situation from then when you were cited as being one of the first trailblazers to bring RDP houses into the community. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What was the housing backlog like then and the lack of houses? How did that improve the townships then?
No, at that time when we as Nkombongo now, we joined a Palito, Salt Rock, to form Dolphin Coast TLC, we had nothing at all.
Yeah.
At where we play, we stay, there was nothing. There was informal settlement, of which was squatters only.
Yeah.
Shacks. There was only shacks, and there was no water, there was no electricity, there was no roads, there was no access of roads. There was nothing at all.
Yeah.
We rely on the neighborhood. Shaka Scroll, you know, around Shaka Scroll, yes, they selling us water like 5 cents, 20 liter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting. And that, then.
It was very hard. It was very hard. And there was a river called Nkombongo where we depend to wash our clothes and to get water there. And the water there was not clean. It was dirty. But we did drink that water.
Yeah.
We did take it, and when it is dry, we went to the school, Shaka Scroll school, primary school, or high school or primary school, to get water for the community. All of us, we went there with our packets, our containers. All of us, you know, it was like, it's an immigration of something.
Yeah.
Yes, we went there in numbers to get water there. And it was so sad. It was very bad for us.
Yeah. I mean, Dave, you're a historian and you know, you've studied history in such a, you know, major way. When you look at this now, you know, from then to now.
You know, one often looks at the modern situation, when I say the current situation, and is dissatisfied with the status quo because there are rampant there is rampant malfeasance now in various sectors of administration. But when I listen to the story that Nora is telling us, and I realize how far we have as a nation progressed, and we've got a long way still to go.
Yeah.
Yes.
But one has to look at it and say, there's been so much good work that's been done, thanks to people like Nora and her colleagues. Sadly, there will always be the rogues among us that take good work and destroy it with their own ambitious greed, and you know, we have to deal with that appropriately. But one mustn't, I think, overlook that there has been a lot of restitution. People that were living in abject poverty, at least now, one can look around these areas and say, well, the rising tide lifted all ships.
Yeah.
Hopefully it continues to rise and continues to deliver good people that care about communities to do the kind of work that we are listening to the story of right now. So I salute you, Nora. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And Nora, you know, you're still very active in the community right now after you left politics 20, how many years ago?
I didn't left politics.
Yeah.
No, I didn't left politics.
You're still involved.
I was
involved.
Kicked out.
Okay.
I was kicked out because I was absolutely against corruption.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I was a voice. I was talking. I was saying no.
And then
they saw me as a threat.
Yeah.
And then they make sure that I have to be out of the system.
They
kicked me very badly, very badly. Yeah. It was not good for me to get out just like that.
Yeah. When did the tide start turning in the municipality? When you joined 20 years ago, you had the Dolphin Coast Council, and then they amalgamated and under the umbrella became Kwadukuza Municipality as we know it now. When did the tide start turning and you saw this corruption start creeping in? How long ago has it been going on?
You know, they started not to like us who were talking. Not to like us who were talking on behalf of the community.
They
didn't want those type of people who are talking on behalf. They want people who talk about themselves, who want to get rich now, to get tenders, to get things. Because we were worried about the progress of the people, you know, progress, people to get what they vote for. Then they make a plot. They make a plot because I was also arrested. You know, all those things. They arrested us, especially me. I was the one. I don't know why it was me only.
Yeah.
Because we were 40 when we amalgamated. We were 40 councillors, but only me chased out like a dog.
Because you were the voice of the community. You're talking about it. When you look at the community now and the daily struggles that are happening right now, have things progressed since, you know, the new leadership came into council? You know, in terms of building more houses for the people, water, all the basic services. What is it like now in the townships, in the informal settlements?
Oh, no. Oh, no. If I can tell you the truth, you won't believe.
Yeah.
The last house which was made when I was in Dolphin Coast TLC is the last house today in Kobongo, today in Shamoya.
Wow.
There is nothing more.
Nothing that has been built since then.
Nothing more. Nothing more. And the existing things that we received when we were in Dolphin Coast are now deteriorating.
Yeah.
Because people are not working.
Yeah.
People are overpopulated in the 15 square meter home which we were able to get subsidy from the government then. And 30 meter square we received in 1999 for Chamoya.
Yeah.
As I said earlier on, that 15 meter square for Nkobongo, Ward 8. And again, 30 meter square for Chamoya.
Yeah.
You know, they multiply by two now, the size.
Yeah.
1999. That 1999 was the last thing that we had.
Yeah, in terms of houses,
yes.
Like proper RDP houses.
And tell me, today is fourth generation.
And they're still waiting for proper formal houses.
Those people who have no money,
yeah,
who are struggling financially, they can't buy blocks instead of buying bread. Bread yeah. is a priority, not a blocks.
Yeah.
You remain inside with your overpopulation family.
Yeah.
You know?
So you're saying the houses and the services as were put then in the old council
yes.
have obviously
yes.
remained. Nothing was improved.
Yes.
No services
yes.
were, put more services to accommodate it. And no more houses have been built since then.
No more.
And the population has just grown.
No
and
more.
Has that grown into an informal settlement now? A shack community, because no one can afford to build houses.
No one, yes. Now what the people they do, they try to make shacks to extend with shacks.
Yeah.
Those who can try and get a material.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's very hard. You know. Now that is a main source of crime. Because the youth is struggling, staying with an old people like grannies and whatever. And the mothers and fathers are also struggling because they're younger than the other people. They, you know, the grandchildren also are not feeling at home. Are not feeling.
Yeah, especially if you've got teenagers living in a small holding with the mother and the grandmother, all sharing the same space.
And the toddlers as well also affected because when they go to crèche. They talk other languages because they are exposing some things that they're not supposed to.
Yes. So the daily struggles for women now, the reality is it is very, very difficult on a daily struggle. So if you could sit across the table behind, across the table in a room with the mayor and the council, what would you tell them?
I'm gonna tell them to resign.
Yeah.
They must resign because we did that. We went and sent petition.
Yeah.
To the municipality for Ward 23 councillor and Ward 8 and the other one, Trifantin.
So it was Chamoya.
Ward 21.
Kubongo, yes.
Yes. Ward 21 as well. We did. We were there forcing the municipality to kick them out.
Because you don't believe that the ward councillors are, looking after the people and the community.
They are not doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
They are doing other things.
Yeah.
They are lost. They're lost. I don't know. They're lost. They're really lost.
I think this is the thread of the leadership at the moment. And
yes,
obviously
lack of leadership. It's totally lack of leadership.
Yeah.
And corruption is getting in as well. It's a high priority to them.
Yeah.
Because they are getting richer and richer every day. While the people are not working, the water thing, because it was meant 10 homes, one standpipe. Gradually, but there's nothing, there's no progress. Instead of 10 homes, one standpipe, the water standpipe are getting vandalized, water standpipe are getting, far away, far and far.
Yeah.
And we need to, as a woman, we are highly affected because we need to carry now water about 1 kilometer to 2 kilometer, or sometimes 3 kilometers.
Yeah.
It depends.
So even now, today, in this 21st century, women are still walking kilometers with buckets.
Let me talk about myself.
Yes,
if I want to do my washing,
yes.
I need to go and carry how many buckets to get to do washing. While I'm finishing now, fetching water, I'm tired. I can't do my washing. I'm going to leave it for the next day.
Yeah.
Because I'm tired of go up and down carrying water.
And this is a daily reality for you and me, and most of the women in the community who are obviously bringing up their children, struggling to put food on the table.
Yes.
And yet at the same time, you're dealing with an inept leadership.
We are struggling for water. We are struggling for load shedding, electricity.
Yeah.
We are struggling for toilet, which is a pit latrine. We are struggling for overpopulation in the house. There's no privacy. If one of us want to bat, somebody must go outside and wait until that one is finished, you know.
Yeah.
When you go to toilet, you are stuck. There is somebody inside. You need to stand. There is no life.
Yeah, no dignity.
No life, no dignity, no privacy.
Yeah.
What is happening now? High rape.
Yeah, the crime.
High everything, domestic violence. We are highly affected by domestic violence because we stay together. There is financial abuse. There is everything mixing together.
Yeah. And you know, with the month of August, you know, there's this rhetoric, it's, you know, standing up for women, gender-based violence, but I feel it's just become that a sentence, you know, the real meaning of the meaningful behind the GBV, what is actually being done in communities where it's actually a reality, it's a daily reality, this is your daily life.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
because the behavior of the needs of a toddler is different. The needs of a teenager is different. The need of a youth of between 30 and 35 to 40, it's different to me. It's different to, you know, to an old somebody.
You know, I've spent quite a lot of time in informal settlements. I've taken photos, I've done stories, I've taken me there. And what struck me most, you know, despite the hardships, the lack of housing, basic services, I'm still greeted with a smile. You know, you know, I see dignity still in a lot of their faces. How do you keep that resilience? How do you put that into words when, from your perspective, what keeps the women going?
We do recycling.
Yeah.
To do that, most of the women, the young, the
many.
Old, even the boys.
Yeah.
All of us, most of us, we rely on this thing, on the recycling. If there was no recycling, I don't know what I'm gonna say today.
Yeah.
Recycling has played a major role to us, but you know, it is a. People are still not recognizing it as a job, but it has helped us a lot, you know. And but it's hard because today now it is also running scarce, you know, these things that are picking by the people.
Yeah.
But
so it's like waste pickers, is that what you're saying? Is it like waste picking?
Yes.
Yeah.
Waste picking, opening the bin bags, doing that, splitting and selling.
So a lot of the people in the community that aren't working become waste pickers.
There is unemployment because there is a lack of service delivery by the money. The municipality does not play its role. They don't do monitoring. They don't following up. They don't go and see how people are living there. They don't know. And we do things on our own. That is why now the old ladies, the everybody now, is going to search young boys, handsome boys and girls for a living. They have to go and collect wood as far as Tilimena and sell these woods so that they can make money.
Yeah.
Some are selling bottles, some are selling cans, some are selling 2 liters, all those things. Cut box, all those things, you know. Yes, there are people who are working, but those who are working as well are negatively affected because the transport is taking all the money. The home is, there are many people in the house that are unemployed. So even if you are earning 10,000 rand a month, what are you going to do if 10 of you are not working, each with kids, you know, each with its own family? You have to feed, and then the money is going away. The transport, everything, all those things, you know, are taking all the money. And even if you are working, you're like, you're not working, because at the end of the day, your balance is zero.
Yeah, and you know, what is your message then? I know there's a lot of struggle, there's a lot of hardship. Do you believe there is hope for change?
Yes.
Change. Do you believe
there
that?
There is a hope for change, but we need strong people with a vision.
Yeah.
People who know what we want. Not anybody. Not yeah. anybody. Not those people who want to get their stomach full, who want to take tenders, who want to be rich on their own, who do not care about the community.
Yeah.
We, I think right now, what I see, the civic people.
The civic society.
Civic society will do it right. And we need also to have a group of people who will make sure that people are getting employment, because employment is a threat, is a problem,
yeah.
is a big problem. People are not getting employed. Tenders are not giving to people in the right way.
Yeah.
They are going to brothers and sisters, you know, nepotism is high, all those things, you know, corruption, all those things. Things are not doing right. The right people who got companies, they are not getting jobs, you know. Those people who even don't need these things, they are getting. Those who have never get a thing, but still yet they got companies, they don't get nothing, because they are not recognized by some higher people in higher position in the municipality yeah. or all over here
yeah.
in the area.
And, yeah. you know, we've seen it. Local government is a cash cow for the elite few who have used patronage and connections to enrich themselves to the detriment of the rest of the community. I think that's where we're going to be coming to an end. Just a last message, Nora, to the women out there, you know, who've listened to you, your daily struggle and the hopelessness that some of the women face. What is your message to them?
Can you come up again?
Yeah, for the people, you know, for women who are feeling hopeless, who don't see any light at the end of the tunnel, what is your message to them to get them out of bed and to keep them going?
Okay. I think we must come together.
Yeah.
We must work together. We must, you know, try and help one another, like involve ourselves, like in soup kitchens, in projects, in some things, and all of us together with them make the municipality to do the right thing.
Yeah, make them accountable.
Yes, all of us, we have to make the municipality accountable
yeah.
to do the right thing to us.
Yeah,
to take care of us, to give us jobs, to give us, you know, things that we need.
Yeah, a better way of life. And I know as Women's Month draws to close, it's not let the commemoration end. It's the call to keep listening, to keep asking hard questions, and to keep those in power accountable so that the voices of women, especially those in our forgotten communities like Nora who are silenced, let's not let them be silent. And I think with local government elections around the corner, it's going to be a very, very interesting shift in the dynamics in our community. Thank you, Nora, for joining us and for your heartfelt honesty in your daily struggles as a woman in our community. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Uncensored.
Uncensored with Penny Faree is proudly sponsored by IPSS Electronic Security. When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security as the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring. With over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 35 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.